praise God, some caviar. They were eating steak, praise God. And he said, here I am out here in the huts, and I'm eating hog slop. And he came to his senses. He was at the most desperate point in his life. And he said, I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to go back to my father's house. And there is something, hallelujah, when you have gone off and you have done those things that you thought you were big and bad enough to do. And some folk find it hard to go back to Father because they don't know how Father is going to react. But there was something different about this Father. I know in this boy's mind, he was saying, what in the world is Father going to do? What in the world is Father going to say? But he didn't have to worry about that, because when he got ready to go back, the story tells me that the father was sitting there waiting for him. Somebody said, I don't know how he knew that it was his son. Maybe he had a certain walk about himself. Maybe there was a way he wore his hat. But praise God, he went back to his father, and his father welcomed him with wide open arms. That's the way it is.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
And prepare your hearts for the word.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we say thank you in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. We bless you for this another opportunity to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can. Let him enter into the text and then bring illumination so that we might understand what it is that you would have to say to us. And then, God, give us power to practice the principles we shall learn today so that we might give you praise as you profit us. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. God bless you. If you'll get your Bibles and turn them to the book of John, chapter 9. The book of John, chapter 9. Recorded are these words. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3 says, Jesus answered, neither
had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. May the Lord bless this word that's been read in your hearing. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, handicapped for God's glory. Handicapped for God's glory. The Bible says Christ came upon a man who was blind from his birth. This problem puzzled the disciples because they asked Christ, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Christ's answer to the disciples' perplexity brought some interesting facts to life, and I certainly want to share this. And when we look at that, there are three things that I want to pull out of this verse, because when we recognize what this was all about, we're going to see and recognize some of the situations that we deal with, some of the complexities and perplexities we often go through. All of it, as I've said so many times, that we go through is not necessarily for us. There are some people God has handpicked to go through some situations, go through some trials, go through some sicknesses, that God's power might be manifested in their lives. God's work might be manifested in their lives. It is clear that Jesus wants to make clear that sin was not the issue here. Because being good Jews, they were taught the word of God, and they were taught that you obey God and you're blessed. You disobey God and you're cursed. And so it was from their, no doubt, biblical, or I should say religious upbringing, that they were taught, however, that everybody who was sick because of sin. It was either, going back to the Old Testament, where the sins of the fathers were placed on the children. And so having that knowledge, they were trying to figure out, since this man was born blind, how was it that he became blind? Was it through some sin of his own that he knew nothing about? Because remember, if he was born blind, he was not even cognizant of sin. So maybe it had to be the sins of his mama and his daddy that was brought upon him. And so they were trying to figure it out. And so they asked Jesus, who did sin? Making it the primary reason for the sickness that this man encountered. And Jesus had to tell them it wasn't because of either one's sin. I want us to look at this word, because the first thing that we're going to see in the text is exaltation. Exaltation, because he says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I just want to bring this out, because one of the things that you'll note is the purpose of the blindness was to exalt God. And listen, it did exalt God for Christ to heal him. Let me say that again. It was to exalt God, and it did exalt God for Jesus Christ to heal this man who was born blind and not because of sin. And so when we begin to note that, we need to remember that glorifying God is very important. We sometimes minimize the fact that we were made for God's glory. And so however God chooses to work in our lives, however God chooses to cause whatever it is that we go through to be one for his glory and two for our good, we ought to say amen. When we recognize that if it hadn't been for the Lord, when we recognize that God from the foundation of the world already knew who we were, what we were, where we were, and what we would do, he already knew what it took to bring glory from us to him. But when receiving the glory from us to him, he would not stop at him just getting the glory, but he'd make sure he'd bless us with some goods. And so you've got to understand there is a twofold reality to God getting glory. But
a whole lot of us don't understand that sometime God receiving glory from us means us going through some things for God. Now, some of us talk about, Lord, any way you bless me is all right with me. Do you really mean that? Do you really mean any way you bless me is all right with me? Because sometimes he's got to break you before he bless you. Sometimes he's got to burden you before he blesses you. Sometimes he's got to bring you through some stuff before he blesses you. So you really mean any way you bless me is all right with me? Do you really mean, God, listen, I want the faith of Job and I want the patience of Job to believe and to trust you. But listen at this. How many of you know, though Job got some stuff up front, it was a setup. Because a whole lot of folk think just because you're blessed is because you're doing right and you obey God. There are a whole lot of worldly folk who are blessed and do not obey God, do not honor God, do not praise God, do not glorify God. So stuff is not a barometer. It's not a litmus test. It's not the thing that says we are blessed or not blessed. It is what God has designed, ordered, and ordained for us to walk through to become what God wants us to become, that he might receive the glory and us the good. Remember, in everything you go through, if God doesn't get glory out of it, you've messed up. So you're going through some of your stuff and you start whining and complaining and being cynical and why me, Lord? I try to live right and do right. God said, that's why I'm letting you go through this. The Bible says about Job, he was the most righteous man in his time. You didn't get no better, more holier and righteous than Job. And God sent him through more stuff than any of us has ever gone through in our lives. We've had a hint, a taste, a little of what Job has gone through. And we whine and cry and, you know, act like, yo, Lord, the world is just coming down on us. Ain't been through nothing of what Job has gone through. But we missed the mark. The next time you're going through, or if right now you're going through, let the light come on. God is permitting you to go through this for his glory. Now listen to this. If you didn't go through some of the things you went through, how much glory would God really get from you? Because truth be told, whole lot of us don't really pray like we ought to pray till problems come, till sickness come, till troubles come, till trials come. Sometimes God allows us to have a handicapped situation temporarily to draw the glory out of our situation. Listen again, because I want you to see this. The Bible is clear in the word, when Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest, show up, show out, demonstrated in him. See, you want God to use you, but you want him to use you the way you want him to use you. And listen, most times the way we want God to use us is for our glory. So men can pat us on the back and talk about how well we did and, oh, how anointed we are. And they could sense God in our presentations. We must have been before God all week long. And all in all, we want God to use us for our glory and not so much God's glory. Because I can tell you, when God uses us for our glory, many times we don't like it. Jeremiah didn't want to go through what God wanted him to go through. He was noted as the weeping prophet. He got so upset with God that he said, God, listen, you know what? I resign. I can't take this no more. You told me when I was a child that I was all of this. I'm down here in a deep, dark dungeon going through a whole lot of stuff because I've been talking to people and preaching to people and telling people what you told me to tell them. And the things you told me to say has not come to pass, and they have got me here because of you. But he had to remember. And every now and then God will stir up on the inside of us a fire that reminds us, you are on this journey for me. You are my representative. You might not like it, but here's what you need to know, that I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. I have ordained you. You have not ordained me. I have appointed you, and you've not appointed me. And if God has done all of that, that means he's got you ready for what you're going through. Somebody didn't get that. I say he's got you ready for what you're going through. You might not like it, might not feel good, but you are ready to go through what God has got. Listen, he wouldn't have put it on you if you couldn't have handled it. You wonder sometimes why things just seem to press on you so heavily. Why you seem to go through so many dark and difficult days. It's because God wants to use you to receive the glory. Because listen at this. He knows that you're going to turn to him. He knows that you're going to seek him for the answer. He knows that you're going to ask him, what do I do next? He knows that whatever glory comes out of this situation is going to be ushered up to him. And so sometimes in our lives, it is through the gloom that God gets the glory. It is through the setbacks that God gets. It's through the downfalls that God gets. It's through the dark days and the restless nights. And it's through all of the things he walks you through. Not one, that your faith may be firm in following him, and that his faithfulness will be demonstrated in you. And so exaltation is what comes out of this verse, because we need to know that God's works must be manifested. See, his works are in his word. But what he wants are his works to be manifested in your life. See, you can carry his works around underneath your arm in your Bible, and you can read his works. But where it really comes to life at is when it gets off the page and gets in your life. And so his works were placed in this one man's life as one of the works of God. And he was blind. Now listen at this. Well, did God get glory out of his blindness? No. God didn't get glory out of the man's blindness. So let me answer your question. Does God get glory out of your sickness? No, God doesn't get glory out of your sickness. Does God get glory out of your situation that goes through and that seems to break you? No, God doesn't get glory out of that. Well, then what does God get glory out of? Bringing you out. Bringing you up. Bringing you through. God gets glory out of showing you he's God in spite of what you're dealing with, in spite of what you're going through. He is God. And so his glory came in that Jesus healed the blind man. That man was born from birth blind, so that when Jesus started his healing ministry, he would be one of the persons. Listen, you know, when you have a situation of temporary blindness, folk don't really believe that too much. But when you've been blind all your days and have never seen, then that's considered a true miracle. And so that was a part of the manifested works of God. But I want you to see something else. Not only was it the exaltation, but without the exaltation, listen at this, this experience would not have paid off. So experience is the next thing. See, we want God to get the exaltation, the glory, but it cannot happen unless we have an experience. See, all of us want to go to heaven, but it's going to take something to get there. And what many of us miss is we cannot get the goods till God gets the glory. And when we don't understand that our experience is what's going to bring to pass the manifestation of God's exaltation, of God's glory, then we miss the fact that what we go through is more than for us. In the Bible days, we point back to the biblical characters in the text. But in today's day, who do we point to? Because there are some people who will never hear the preached gospel, never witness the preached gospel, never know the word of God, but they know you. And sometimes what God allows and permits you to go through is to be a living example through a real experience about what God is capable of doing. It might be to show to your family, might be to show to your friends, might be to show to your co-workers, might be to show to your Christian brothers and sisters who are younger and weaker in the faith, might be to show you that God is faithful to his word. Listen at this, your experience. What is your experience? I dare say many of us this year have had some experiences where the manifested works of God has proven God faithful. Some have been just for a moment, some have been for days, some have been for weeks, some have been for months, some have been this whole year long. Matter of fact, it started last year and it still looks like it's going to finish in this year. But you don't know. This could be your year of deliverance. I know we don't have but a few days left in this year, but this could be your year of breakthrough. You don't know. God is setting you up for something bigger and better because of your experience. Listen, Job's experience was not my experience. And my experience, I thank God, is not like Job's experience. But what my experience was designed to do is to bring God glory and to bless me in the process. God knew what I could handle. God knew what he wanted to do to me, through me, for me. God knows what he wants to do through you. So know this, that you cannot achieve or accomplish or arrive or arise to the place where God wants you to without your personal experience. You want the blessings of God? Get ready for the burdens. Get ready for the breakdowns. Get ready for the problems. Because sometimes, in order for God to promote you, sometimes he has to demote you. Sometimes for God to position you, he's got to reposition you. And every time he does that, it seems as if it's going in the wrong direction. It seems as if it's going totally opposite, diametrically opposite to what he promised you. But God wants to know whether you're looking at him or you're looking at your situation. We walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, it don't look like it's going to work out. Well, the question becomes, what are you looking at? Are you looking at what you're going through? Listen, that's in the flesh arena. Or are you looking at what you're going to? That's the faith arena. And how many of you know you've got what's called adjusted vision? You know how when you wake up and your vision's not, and you kind of wipe your eyes and you kind of blink them good and get them moist so you can. Have you ever had dry eye? It burns, it hurts, it tingles. And you got to do something to soothe them before your vision becomes clear again. Sometime when you're looking at stuff that seems to be cloudy in the flesh, sometime when you're looking at stuff that just doesn't seem to be clear, can't make it out, can't put your fingers on it, can I tell you, stop looking at what you're going through and start looking at what you're going to. Faith realm. Faith realm. Your own experiences are a part of bringing you through the faith realm. So experience is a part of it. Somebody say experience. Experience. You see, somebody has said even in the natural realm that experience is the best teacher. Ah, y'all don't believe that. See, when you've experienced something, you have an in-depth knowledge. You ain't just got no book sense here. You got what the old folk call bought sense. You paid for that. It cost you something. You know about it. So if you go through it again, you know what to expect because you got experience. Bought sense. And so many times we miss the message of our experience. Sometimes it is for more than us. Last thing I'm going to say about this word, and I'm closing, is that this word gives us encouragement. As exaltation, experience, and lastly, encouragement. What is the encouragement? The encouragement is that Jesus said, when he answered the man, his parents didn't sin, and he didn't sin. And so that encourages us because we recognize that it's not always what you go through because of something wrong or bad or difficult that you deal with. The friends of Job thought Job had done something secretly wrong. Job, God wouldn't put this on you if you had been what you say you are. You around there jumping and shouting in church on Sunday, lifting up holy hands and speaking in tongues, and you out shout the shouter, but you doing something through the week, Job. We don't see you, but God, come on, talk to me somebody. Man, you the first one in the church, last one to leave. You the first note on the organ, dude, F you up. You circled the church 100 times doing so. You did something wrong, Joby. You ain't all you cracked up to be. We don't see you, but God sits up high and he... Come on, talk to me, somebody. You know when folk are jealous of your worship and jealous of your praise and jealous of your relationship and jealous of your fellowship, and they don't like how you worship and praise God, so they're looking for something wrong with you. And the first time trouble hits your life, they want to say, I told you, steal water. Come on, talk to me, somebody. We come out with all the sayings then. And so they thought something had to be wrong. But God chose the most righteous, the best, the highest example to run through the deepest of trials, tribulations, troubles, and sickness. Listen, it pleased God to let Job go through this punishment. It pleased God because he knew that Job was going to be faithful enough to go through it without blaming God. He knew Job was going to walk by faith and not by sight. He knew that Job was going to honor him in spite of what he was going through. He knew Job was going to be the best example from that time clear on through the eternities of how when you trust God in spite of your difficulties, in spite of your setbacks, in spite of your issues, how God will promote those who obey him and who fulfill what he has ordained. And so the encouragement is that, yeah, you may be going through something and it's embarrassing sometimes to go through the things God sends you through because people are judgmental. Because people always want to figure that there is some twist to the situation. If there's some issue beyond what is the issue. And so most times it is in the bringing you down before God lifts you back up. That you deal with shame and you deal with social disgrace and you deal with the murmurings and the talkings and all of those things. But God sets you up so that they can see you. Listen at this, so that through you, they can see him. See, they wouldn't see him just looking for him. But when you who belong to him are called by him, when you're going through something, they see you. And when they see you and know you've gone beyond what they know you can deal with, you can handle what you are, then they can't help but see him on the inside of you. Know that there was nobody but God that brought you through that situation. Because listen, they knew they would have given up a long time ago.